how to distinguish between aberrant conduction and ventricular ectopy when the underlying rhythm is AFib. I can think of several reasons that explain why this is such a challenging problem. These include the fact that new onset AFib is most often associated with a rapid ventricular response, and as a result, rate-related aberrant conduction is quite common. And because of this rapid response, therefore increased likelihood that a series of rapidly conducted widened beats that simulate VTAC may occur, clinical implications of accurate rhythm assessment may be important. We don't want to overlook frequent runs of non-sustained VT. And finally, there are no P waves with AFib. As a result, we lose the potential benefit of the most helpful ECG finding for recognizing aberrant conduction, which is identification of a premature P wave before the widened beats. So, how do we proceed? The answer is that there are several clues that may help us. First among these is QRS morphology. Given how common aberrant conduction is when the underlying rhythm is rapid AFib, seeing a very typical morphology for the QRS complex that resembles right bundle branch block in a right-sided lead, such as lead V1 or a monitoring lead MCL1, strongly increases the likelihood of aberrant conduction. By typical right bundle branch block morphology, I mean that there is a triphasic RS-R' complex with no more than a short and thin initial R wave, and an S wave that descends below the baseline, and a tall, slender, if not pointed, R' wave, which is often referred to as a taller right rabbit ear. Anything but this typical QRS morphology does not help, because anything but this typical QRS morphology is not reliably predictive of right bundle branch block aberration. If anything, other QRS morphologies, even when the QRS is predominantly positive in a right-sided lead, are more likely to indicate a ventricular etiology. I'm a fan of what I call the birds in a feather phenomenon. By this I mean that if, in the setting of rapid AFib, in which aberrant conduction is common, that if I see a number of widened QRS complexes with very typical QRS morphology for aberrant conduction, then even if other widened QRS complexes in the rhythm strip don't look as typical, it tends to be more likely that most, if not all, of the other widened beats are also aberrant. Since for this not to be the case would entail postulating that two different things are going on, that is, aberrant conduction and ventricular ectopy. I'll emphasize that you can have both ventricular beats and aberrant conduction, but more often in my experience, you'll have a predominance of one or the other. Note, sometimes ventricular ectopy will be obvious, as might be suggested by very wide QRS complexes that don't look anything like the underlying narrow QRS of the AFib rhythm. But often, only a single phenomenon will be ongoing at the same time, and in many cases, this will be aberrant conduction with minimal or no ventricular ectopy. Key point. Much of the time, it does not matter clinically with respect to initial management of new onset rapid AFib as to whether the multiple wide beats that you see are aberrantly conducted supraventricular impulses or short runs of non-sustained VTAC. This is because the first priority in assessing and managing new onset rapid AFib in a patient who is hemodynamically stable is to try and find the cause of the AFib and treat that cause. And if you do, chances are that the ventricular response of the AFib will slow, if not convert to sinus rhythm. So, for example, multiple wide beats that are seen in a patient who presents with new and rapid AFib as a result of acute heart failure will often go away once oxygenation is improved and the patient's heart failure is treated, in which case it will no longer matter whether those multiple wide beats that were seen when the patient first presented were ventricular or aberrantly conducted. Back to QRS morphology. The other common form of QRS morphology seen with rapid AFib is the result of left anterior hemiblock aberration. This can be recognized because in lead 2, there is a slender initial R wave that is similar in shape and in the slope, that is the angle, of the upstroke of the initial part of the R wave compared to the narrow beats of the underlying AFib, as opposed to ventricular beats that often manifest a slurring and widening of the initial R or S wave. Because PVCs and VTAC originate from within the ventricles, supraventricular impulses tend to conduct normally. That is, they look very similar for the initial part of the QRS until they encounter that part of the ventricular conduction system that is refractory, which statistically most often is either the right bundle branch or the left anterior hemifascicle. A few final points. PVCs and runs of VTAC often manifest at least a slight post-ectopic pause. By this I mean that the underlying irregularity of the AFib rhythm looks a little different because there is a slight pause after the widened beat or beats that is greater than what you would expect before QRS morphology returns to the normal morphology of the narrow AFib beats. In contrast, when the wide beats and rapid AFib are due to aberrant conduction, the underlying pattern of irregularity tends to be maintained during the run of widened beats, and there tends to be no post-ectopic pause after the last wide beat or run of wide beats. The Ashman phenomenon can be helpful. I've previously discussed this ECG clue in my ECG blog number 212. I summarized the Ashman phenomenon by noting that the funniest-looking beats often follow the longest pauses. By this I mean that one or more aberrantly conducted beats are often seen to begin after an unanticipated pause, that is, a longer-than-expected preceding R2R interval. I'll caution that due to concealed conduction of AFib impulses, the Ashman phenomenon is not perfectly reliable in the setting of AFib. But noting that wide beats almost always begin following an unexpected brief pause does increase the likelihood of aberrant conduction. Finally, if you see a run of wide beats that is caliper precise regular compared to the underlying irregularity of the AFib rhythm, this suggests that this run of regular wide beats is VTAC. I'll emphasize that this can be tricky, because when AFib is rapid, it sometimes looks like it is regular until you measure it. And VTAC is not always completely regular, so there is no 100% rule that works every time. Bottom line, aberrant conduction is common in new-onset rapid AFib. Wide beats, regardless of whether they are ventricular in etiology or supraventricular with aberrant conduction, tend to go away when the rate of the AFib slows, even if the patient remains in AFib. It is not clinically important to correctly identify every wide beat in an AFib rhythm. Instead, the goal is to get a sense as to whether most of the wide beats are ventricular or aberrantly conducted. The first key to managing the patient in new-onset rapid AFib is to treat the primary, which is usually the rapid rate of the AFib rhythm. My hope is that applying the ECG clues I suggest here will in most instances increase your comfort level for determining whether the wide beats are ventricular, supraventricular with aberrant conduction, or some combination thereof.